due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
You know my family, you know my kids. And I'm not talking about the 22 the world thinks that I have. I'm talking about my two beautiful little girls that I am here today for. You promised me something. You said you would petition to have a match with me. And what happened? What happened? I'm on the unemployment list. That's what happened. I want you to give me what I deserve. What you, as a friend, promised me.
He's gonna push me.
What about now?
What's happening? I'm Cole Cabana, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to Pain Clinic for July 11th. Holidays today, real quick. It's Cheer Up the Lonely Day, National Blueberry Muffin Day, and World Population Day. Well, I wish a happy 66th birthday to former Doom member and the natural Butch Reed. Happy 40th birthday to Tyson Kidd, and happy 38th to Jeff Cobb. I want to let you know Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Interested in roller derby? Would you like to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today in squeaky audio from Furby. I don't know why that audio is so squeaky from you, sir, but I know it's you, definitely. So, but welcome to... I don't either, but welcome to the show. Are you doing it on your phone?
Nope.
Okay, huh, interesting. Well, welcome to the show. This is the Pain Clinic. We talk pro wrestling. I'm the Cash Man, your humble host, with DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. He's the
good morning.
Yes, if you're looking at Facebook Live, he's the big picture. We've got Furby from Hilton, New York, joining us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And the Artiste from Rochester, New York, Mr. Artiste. How are you doing today?
Good morning.
Hey, hello. There we go. We got good. We got all everyone's there. Everyone's checking. I was going to say robot roll call, but we have no gypsy here. So we're here to talk about the – and I guess it's an inside joke. But Danny might be the only one to get that one. But
maybe.
Here to talk the world of pro wrestling. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this past week. We got pay-per-view they're building up for WWE for next week, as well as we finished up Fyter Fest Part 2. And the Great American Bash Part 2, both ending quite spectacularly. Let's start talking about those Part 2s. We got to see on NXT, a Great American Bash, a dual champion at the end of the show. What'd you think about the big man taking Adam Cole's title, the longest reigning NXT champion? Is that a sign that we're going to see the Undisputed Era moving up, or is this going to build to more things between them? What do you guys think?
I mean, it's about time for them. They've been kind of dominating the NXT landscape for 3 years. I don't think there's much more that they could possibly do there. And if anything, I think we saw this week, particularly SmackDown, maybe some new life needs to be injected into some of the main roster shows because, boy, are they unwatchable.
Yeah, that was SmackDown. I just finished watching it this morning. It was probably the worst SmackDown I've ever witnessed. I mean, there was four matches, two were disqualification, two ended in a roll-up, We had a karaoke, which wasn't even a karaoke. They just tried to sing and it was terrible. And then that's all I got to say.
I think in terms of double champions, I don't like it. We got to see what happens in terms of the North American title. Happy for Keith Lee. Disappointed for him that he has to win it in front of an empty arena like anybody else who's won a title. I think it wouldn't be as big of a deal for somebody who's already won a belt or the specific belt, but it just sucks in that circumstance. Match was good. Crazy how quickly they could get all that pyro in the ring there for the yeah. show to go off the air. It's just magic of television. But, I don't know. It was a good match. I think both shows Wednesday knocked it out of the park overall.
Yeah, I would agree too. And as much as Furby says last night's SmackDown was terrible, we did get Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman a title match, I guess you would say. But I don't know where how that ended. If that the way it ended, I mean, if you guys hadn't seen it yet, plug your ears for a second. But Strowman comes up with the black sheep mask on and Bray kind of like embraces him. It looks like the match is over at that point. Then he takes it off, crushes it on the ground, and then does a choke slam, and boom, 1, 2, 3, it's over. I don't know if this is the end of what's going on between them, but I mean, we haven't seen The Fiend versus Strowman yet. So that's one thing I think.
Well, all that was a replay of Money in the Bank.
Yeah, pretty much. You're right.
No, it was.
Yeah.
It was the match.
No, literally, it was a replay of Money in the Bank.
I was going to say, I'm surprised they didn't put replay on the bottom, and because it was, and once again, as well as in front of an empty audience and everything. But I do want to mention something about SmackDown, and maybe I'm reading too much into this. Maybe I'm not. You guys tell me. When they're doing the karaoke, and they've got, they're singing a Common Man, Dusty Rhodes theme song. Of course, doing it karaoke, every single singer sounded pretty bad. I didn't think they really sounded that great. I thought that was terrible. But I thought, was that a shot back at AEW for what? Because Vince owns all the rights to the Rhodes family, everything, the names, everything in the Rhodes, anything involved with the Rhodes, he owns the rights to. In fact, he just put in for Cody Rhodes' name again. To re-up the copyright on it. So, but am I reading too much into it, thinking that was a shot at AEW because of the whole sloppy thing that Taz said last week?
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility at all, given how bitter and pathetic we know Vince McMahon to be.
If it was done by coincidence, I would be shocked.
The sloppy shop line, which kind of ticked off everybody, but nobody really came out and said anything. But, they kind of take, it seems to me it's like something Vince would do is, use that song, make it sound stupid. And then, just maybe, who knows, maybe he'll have a debut a wrestler named Cody Rhodes or something and have him like job to everybody. It'd be seem like him because he's like kind of menial like that. What do you think, Mr.
Like the fake Diesel and a fake Razor?
Yeah. What do you think, Mr. Artis? I don't know
you could do that with Stardust, I guess, easier than you could with Cody. But I don't know. I mean, I liked Taz's line, and of course that's going to upset people. So whatever. I mean, they can deal with it.
True. But there were, Furby, there was some elements of SmackDown that were okay. But overall, yeah, it was... the way the show ended is like, yeah, is this how this is going to end? I mean, it just kind of like you popped a balloon or something, and I think Raw, go ahead.
If there was any positive to SmackDown, I mean, I could see that maybe it was just continuing build up. Riddle and AJ Styles, there was a build towards the title match next week. The tag team match, the main event, New Day versus Nakamura and Cesaro. It's most likely going to be building up to some sort of another title match at Extreme Rules. So, I mean, okay, yeah, there was elements that build towards probably future. So it did its purpose. The show did what it was supposed to do. It built up matches for the upcoming pay-per-view next week. But it was just, it was not entertaining.
It's just crazy to me that right now we're in this status where, both shows on Wednesday I thought were awesome, and Impact was okay, I guess, but really outside of Wednesday, I thought like everything this week was bad. What I saw of SmackDown didn't like. What I saw of Raw didn't like. What I saw of AEW Dark didn't like. Like, it was really, Wednesday was great, and the rest of it was very forgettable.
Well, I will say one thing. Yeah. We talked a lot about people who were leaving, who left WWE, and then they go and have to stick it back to us by putting Kairi Sane back on TV in a match, even though we talked about how she was leaving and whatnot, as well as Heath Slater shows up in the very first beginning of Raw. And what did you guys think about Heath Slater? I mean, we heard it to start the show. Heath Slater, you know, honestly, they didn't re-sign him or anything unless all of a sudden he shows up this week. I don't know. They tend to do things like that. That's how come MVP's still there. He's like, well, let's just sign him for one thing, and then next thing you know, he's on every week, you know? I kind of like the Heath Slater real talk a little bit, talking about him and McIntyre. I remember when they were part of 3MB. And stuff like, you know, I thought that, but it was also a very quick match on Monday Night Raw where he just got beaten, you know, pretty much in a minute, I think it was. So, and it was, you know, and I'm sure there's some legitimacy between the two guys loving each other, because I know that Drew McIntyre came out this past week and said that that he had to petition, or he had to convince him to come on the show because he didn't want to do it. Which is surprising, I guess, in one aspect. He's got all those kids to feed and everything. But, what did you guys think of that segment?
I personally did not mind it. I liked it a lot. It was actually kind of a nice chipper feeling to kind of have that type of send off for a guy who dedicated himself to the business and never really got too many opportunities. I mean, obviously, he's won some tag championships, but. To see obviously how close him and McIntyre were, what McIntyre wanted to do for his friend, get him on, give him the proper send off. Yeah, it was a quick match. I don't think any of us really expected anything from the match itself. To see that kind of relationship, them two guys after a really terrible situation of these mass cuts that WWE had. Obviously, you can't do it to everybody, but for one guy who may have probably been one of the most tenured that was released from WWE from the cuts, I think it was something nice that they were able to do, and hopefully goes on to do bigger and better things with whatever company he ends up at.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that of like Raw and SmackDown, that was probably the highlight. I get, you know, somebody like that that's not actually on the roster, you're not going to give them a full length match or anything like that. I wish they would have done a little more with it if they were going to go down that path. Let them have more of a match than what it was. But, yeah, I mean, I think it was cool. And, I mean, props to McIntyre for the idea. Would have loved to have seen those two and Jinder one last time rocking out. Maybe someday.
You never know. Down the road, anything is possible.
The three-man band, everyone looks back fondly on. It's kind of like three count. Everyone looks fondly on it now, but when it was going on, everyone was kind of booing it and whatever, you know. We like the three-man band, though. I like that. I like when they were coming out. I thought it was hilarious because I think Heath Slater was Axl Rose, I'm pretty sure, or at least he thought he was. But it was pretty cool. So it was an interesting week of wrestling. I don't know what you guys think. 222-1280, star 1280's number. We're going to take a break on this, come back, talk a little bit about other things, you know, for instance, Extreme Rules has kind of got a longer name now, and it's like I'm trying to figure that one out, and also trying to figure out when Kevin Owens broke his ankle. I remember he fell off the WrestleMania sign.
I was gonna say jumping off the sign, maybe.
I think that might have been it, but we'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
What's in my hands is the FTW World Championship. So, this is a championship that no promotion has ever recognized, but wrestling fans worldwide, Tony. Wrestling fans worldwide, they recognize the respect for the man who holds this championship. Because the man who holds this championship is the baddest son of a bitch in wrestling. Tried to help the young homie. Even after he saw how I was able to help Lashley become Lashley again, he still had the unmitigated gall to turn down the mentorship of the greatest United States champion of all time. That's disrespectful. And when you disrespect MVP, you disrespect Bobby Lashley.
Hey, this is CM Punk, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Furby, the Artiste, and you. And you can give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. We'll take calls. Why not? We're ready to believe you. Going into that break, I played the piece with Taz and the FTW belt. Are you guys all familiar with the FTW belt? That was from ECW days, right? That was because they didn't, and I believe what it was is he wasn't getting a push towards the heavyweight champion anymore, so he decided to make his own. He defended it every time. He never lost it till he left, and when he left, he went to WWE. But it was nice to see it back. Now, the question is this build-up with Brian Cage, is this bigger than, say, the Brody Lee build-up before his match with Moxley? Because you can't have back-to-back build-ups going against the champion just to have him lose and then, sifted down later, lower in a card. What do you guys think?
I think this is doing a better job at protecting Cage when he does not win on Wednesday. I don't see any point in bringing that belt back. I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't care about it in the first place. I just don't. To me, it's just cheesy. And they don't have a big enough roster to introduce additional titles at this point anyway. So I don't get the point of it. I don't like it. I think, yes, it will protect him more than Brody was protected, because you did see him kind of fall back a little bit after the build-up with Moxley and the great match with Moxley, and then there were weeks we didn't see him. You know, obviously they looked good on Wednesday in that six-man tag, but overall I don't see the point of that belt, nor do I want to see it defended.
Yeah, I agree with Rob. The last thing AEW needs right now is another title, especially one like that. And then, yeah, I think it just kind of telegraphs, well, here you go, Brian Cage. Here's the secondary title, and it's kind of obvious you're not going to beat Moxley AEW title.
It seems like a lot lately, like we've been getting these titles injected into TV shows. Like this past week, MVP debuted the new U.S. title, which, by the way, it looks nice. I like that. And then we have, of course, on Impact Wrestling, we've got Moose defending the TNA heavyweight title. But now the FTW title comes to AEW. And I will tell you, Taz for years wore FTW on his tapes, on his wrist, before there was ever an FTW title. So it's something that he's always believed. It's always been his motto or whatever. And you can understand, you probably, folks, I'm not going to say what it means, but you probably can figure it out. But what about you, Mr. Furby? You think about, is this convolute things more with another title thrown in there? And maybe this one's not nearly like real, you know?
Yeah, I think it's going to have the same feel that a lot of the other, even from past times with the $1 million championship. You know, then you go ahead and say to Moose, bringing back the TNA World Championship, the FTW Champion. It's just kind of like a placeholder. It's not even anything that really feels real at all. Just like everybody else said, it really just kind of feels like a way to protect Cage when he doesn't win the AEW Championship against Mox. I almost wouldn't have minded it if they did it last week, kind of building up to knowing that Cage and Mox weren't going to fight this past Wednesday to really, I guess, give more exposure to the FTW championship. We'll obviously see it next week when Mox and Cage face off. But to me, it really means nothing.
You know,
I mean, you could have maybe waited to debut it until after he loses. Maybe it seems less important at that point. I agree. The $1 million belt, all that stuff. Like, the only one I actually liked was when Owen Hart stole a Slammy that he didn't even actually win, and then he made a joke out of it.
Yeah,
best like bow, that's what best all this is. Time. Like, is Matt Cardona going to debut now, and it'll be like the internet title against the FTW title, and nobody wins? Like, we just talked about like double champions. Like, I don't. What is Keith Lee going to do with the North American belt if Brian Cage beats Moxley, which I don't think any of us think there's really a chance of that happening? Then really at that point, what's the point of the FTW belt?
And not only that, what does it do for that title if you just gave it to Brian Cage and then in his first big match he loses?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It just makes the title even less credible.
And you know, and so there must be a method to the madness. Then they've got to have some angle in there or something that's going to make both guys come out looking good, even though there won't be a title change or anything. And maybe they could build up a long term. I mean, Brian Cage was the Impact champion when he left the company. You know, he got hurt in the match that he won the title, and I think he was out for a few months before. And I know he signed with AEW, before he came, before he was healthy. So this is really his first action since he won the title. Was it Slammiversary last year? I can't remember what pay-per-view was. I just know he got hurt during it, and eventually that's why Tessa Blanchard picked it up eventually. But because
he had a lot of championships, he had both championships at Wrestle Circus that he had to drop with injury as well, and I think one in Canada and one maybe overseas or something. I mean, like, yeah, it's he's a great wrestler. I just don't, you just went into that situation like you're talking about with you, Brody, you put him right in the title match and then he loses, and then what? Brian Cage just came in, and then he's going to get a title match, and he's going to lose, and then what? Like, who's next? Like, why don't we make the next contender for Moxley somebody who has been around and has built their way up and has a believable chance at winning it? Or you go back to Jericho, even if you need to. But I don't know. I'm not of the things that AEW's done with these pay-per-view style dynamites in the last couple weeks. Like, the match with Cage and Moxley is not really at the top of my interest list compared to some of the other ones, to be honest.
Cage.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I agree 100% with Rob, especially the, you know, pushing the new signees up the card right away. Not that it's terrible, but I definitely think they could have done a better job of letting them hang around a little bit first before going right up to the main event level. Like, obviously we know that Brody could, you know, have a main event level match. He did. It was a great match, him and Mox. We know that Cage can essentially deliver with Mox as well on the main event scene. But all it's doing is essentially hurting them, or not. It's kind of doing them a disjustice, because if they win, okay, great. But they're gonna, if they lose, then where do they go from there? And we already saw that, and we've already hit on that already with Brody. So what's next?
And
on a much smaller level, like, do they really need to go straight from 2 weeks of Fyter Fest right into Fight for the Fallen? Like, I know they wanted to do the Moxley match as soon as he was available, but, I mean, I could wait another week or two for this match to happen, let it build up more, whatever the case is. Like, is it going to be weird to go back to a regular Dynamite after 3 weeks in a row of these supposedly special ones? I don't know. The whole thing is just strange to me.
No, I agree. And I was just thinking about Brian Cage. Brian Cage mentioned something about, I don't remember him ever in WWE. Do any of you guys remember him ever working for WWE? Because I saw a quote from him saying he never wanted to go back there again. And it's like, I don't remember ever seeing him there. So maybe he's one of the, I don't know. I don't remember him ever being there. So any of you guys remember Brian Cage being part of WWE at any time? No,
I don't. I'm trying to look it up right now.
Yeah, because
I don't.
He did an interview where they quoted him, and maybe he had started in NXT and left or something. But he's a guy.
Well, I think he had done like some of the, was it like Deep South, or I don't know if it was FCW or something. But I don't think he ever, like, TV wise did anything. And I mean, that would have been, he's been around for what, 15 years or so. I mean, it's like, I don't know.
Sure, it's like,
well, it looks like he was in FCW in June of 2008. That's pretty much where he was and then was released after that in 2010.
Sounds like around the same time that Kenny Omega was down there too, because I know Omega was briefly in the developmental for a short time, so as well as Daniel Bryan once the first time he was with the company. So, but
it looks like in June 2008 he actually signed a developmental contract with WWE to be in FCW. He wrestled under the name Chris Logan.
Okay. So apparently in the short time he was there, he did not like it. Now, I'm suggesting is that maybe Cage will win, but not take the belt, you know, or maybe something like that. Something to maybe build up something farther down the line, because you can't do that back to back with the contenders with John Moxley. Just have him lose once and then, you know, jump to the next guy. Plus, I think that, you know, I don't think anybody really wants to change a major title during this pandemic, but except we got the NXT title changed last week. But I don't, you know, I think they're just trying to hold everything the same until they can get out the crowds. I know Vince McMahon came out this past week and said he's looking forward to starting up again in September out on the road. So, but do you think there's any validity to my thoughts on that about them not trying to change? Because they're not really getting a good feel for the crowd. That's something they really do get a lot of a lot of feedback from the crowd, is how they react to the people, and they're not getting that. And that's a big thing in pushing wrestlers.
I mean, Cash, yeah, we've kind of seen this since this whole thing started. I feel like, you know, WWE and to a lesser extent AEW, but they've just been in this general holding pattern where they're really not changing much, but they're also really not putting much effort into things.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to agree. I don't really think there's obviously need for change, but I don't think moving a title around, honestly, is the best way to get your change. You know, obviously, I think things would play out completely different if there was crowds and stuff like that. But, you know, keep the title on Mox. Let something hopefully change in this society, and maybe we can go back to a little bit of normality a little bit. But just going back to the whole NXT change, how they changed the world title there, I think that was the right timing. Obviously, Keith Lee is the guy that they're really pushing as becoming that next big star. And, you know, Adam Cole, Undisputed Era, it's time. Bring them up. Bring new life up to the, you know, Raw and SmackDown, wherever they go. You know, it's just something new, and it was exciting.
Do you feel
that? Yeah, I mean, I think it worked a lot better in that circumstance when NXT, like, a guy loses a belt and then he can be shuffled to a different brand or moved up, if we want to say that. Obviously, AEW doesn't really have that. So in that circumstance, I don't think it, you know, it makes as much sense to switch titles in AEW. I just wish that, I don't know, I feel like they need to really get into some extended programs with some guys. And like you're talking about, maybe that is Moxley and Cage. Maybe they have a really good match on Wednesday and this is something that continues on. I just don't feel like, I don't feel like anybody thought that maybe the tag titles would have changed in AEW with Best Friends, but that didn't happen. And I don't think anybody thought any of the other titles were going to change. I don't think there's a solid women's title feud going on right now. I think there's a lot of things that are in that holding pattern, and they've got to, even if you're not changing the titles themselves, I think maybe you need to get in the point where you need to figure out, like, Hikaru Shida, who is her challenger going to be, and, like, let's get a program going and let that build up until maybe you have the big match when you have hopefully fans in the crowd. But right now it's just been kind of a lot of random matches and stuff, and I don't know. I think there needs to be a little more direction on some of that stuff.
Yeah, and I think, and you know, I think, you know, that the women's division in AEW, unfortunately, the injury bug really kind of took out their plans for what they were going to be doing the last couple month and a half or 2 months. You know, I mean, two of their best women are on the shelf right now, and they're still trying to do something with Britt every week. Do people care with Britt and Swall fighting outside the place? I'm not sure about that, but I did want to say,
hopefully there's a payoff there. I don't know. If anybody watched Dark on Tuesday, I thought Swall and who did she wrestle? I forget. Rache Chanel, one of Booker's students. That was maybe the worst match I've seen, at least under the AEW umbrella. So a lot of people are talking about Swole being the next one to be built up to be the face of that division. I just think there's a long way to go there, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, and then so
it's too bad that Statlander's hurt because she would have been my pick, but they got to find some new talent, I think, pretty quick, some domestic talent that can actually come in.
Well, we know a certain woman who used to be the Impact champion who's free. Just throwing that out there. She may have problems with people in the locker room, but she can do it. She can work it. So we'll see what happens there. But one last line before we go to break here. What do you think there's a definitive line when it comes to Keith Lee in WWE that he's maybe NXT quality at the best right now, but he's not good enough to move over to one of the other shows?
I think he could be the top guy on whatever you put him on if you wanted it to be that way.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too, and I think he proved it in November in Survivor Series weekend. And I think he proved it, you know, standing face to face with Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. Yeah, he was eliminated, but I think they have the opportunity, and they have a guy of that stature to build as a top star.
Remember, he went up against Roman Reigns during that Survivor Series match. I mean, that really, the crowd just went nuts when they were in the ring together. So, I agree. I agree. Sometimes I feel like he has a raw moment still where he needs to develop a little bit more. But when he talks from his heart, which he does a lot, you can tell there's a lot of passion in that guy. And, I mean, he can do it in the ring, too.
And not to sound corny, but his potential is truly limitless. He will only be limited while he's in WWE by the booking.
And on that note, we go to break because I agree 100%. Thank you, Danny. We're going to come back. And I didn't even mention about the name, the Extreme Rules name change. We'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Perfect stipulation for our match at the horror show at Extreme Rules. Very simple. Ojo por ojo. Eye for an eye. You damage my eye and then went after my son's eye? I'm willing to take it a step further and pull your eye out with my bare hands. Now that's what I call a sacrifice.
I'm Bill Goldberg. When I'm in Rochester, I listen to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. And if you don't listen to Pain Clinic, you can bet your butt you'll be next.
So we've got Bill Goldberg threatening people to listen to the show. All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the cast man with DC, Dan Cole, the Artiste, and Furby, and you. And Dan, by the way, Danger Boy took the day off. I don't know if you noticed that. He's not here. Danger, I don't know. So it's only us four, and you too, if you want to give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. So one thing I wanted to bring up, and you might have heard it in the sound there going into the break, that Rey Mysterio's, the stipulation for the match with him and Seth Rollins is an eye for an eye. Okay, now we've already seen kind of the WWE magic way of having him gouge Rey's eye. Is this, I mean, Hollywood style match we're going to get? Are we going to get something like a CGI thing going on here? Because you heard Ray, he said he wanted to gouge out his eye. You know, it's like, and I guess that's maybe why the name The Horror Show at Extreme Rules had started, because that was kind of just started up this past week, too. What do you guys think about, obviously it's not PG-13 if we're going to be gouging eyes out on TV.
Yeah, I didn't think there could be a dumber pay-per-view name than Great Balls of Fire, but yet here we are. 2020 does not fail to live up to itself.
Absolutely stupid idea, and it's going to be, I don't know. I think I said recently there was like a WWE pay-per-view that I've never looked forward to less, and that's now been topped by this one. There's maybe Asuka and Sasha will have a good match. I don't care at all. Like, I'm looking forward to watching the Impact pay-per-view next weekend, but it sounds like a horror show to watch next Sunday. I don't give a crap about any of this. Eye for an eye, CGI, cinematic style bull crap. No, thank you.
Tell us how you feel, really.
It's terrible. It's stupid.
Would you rather give up an eye or watch the pay-per-view?
Oh, no. Or chop off your left, your pinky finger on your left hand. Okay, what about you, Ferbs? What you think?
Yeah, I just think the whole thing is just, there's no excitement behind it. I mean, honestly, it's not realistic. No one really cares. It was already done before on another company. There's been a lot of the go back and forth, oh, copy AEW, AEW's copying WWE within the last few months. You know, Santana and Mox did this already. Not that it's going to be the same thing, but no one really cares. I don't care.
I was at that Eye for an Eye match in Austin back in February. Nobody cared. Like, it wasn't like, I'm going to pull your eye out. Like, yeah, they had like beaten each other up or whatever, but it was not. If they want to steal the name, steal the name. Like, who really cares? I know, but like, right now we're getting at the point where these wrestlers and companies are going at each other on Twitter back and forth. And I get it. Like, I mean, you're kind of playing up the Wednesday Night Wars and stuff. I don't think anybody really cares that they're like taking the name from AEW, but like, at least AEW didn't try to like say, I'm going to actually pull your eyeball out of the socket. Nobody wants to see that. Literally nobody wants to actually witness that.
Have you ever had one of those instances where like you meet a new person and they're asking you what your interests are and you're like, oh, I like professional wrestling, and they laugh at you? It's because of crap like this.
Yeah. Now, if I thought you were going to say, oh, I like to see eyeballs pulled out of sockets. Yeah.
I'd say, didn't Ray already lose one? If he lost another one, he's going to be blind. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but I will say that, you know, everyone's borrowing from everybody, because like I said, we were throwing Impact into the line there too with the fake titles. You know, I mean, now we've got two North American titles in WWE or whatever, US titles, whatever they call it. You know, we got rid of the cinnamon candy looking one, or we're going to, I think, when MVP apparently wins next week. But yeah, there's just a lot of things that beg for maybe some simpler explanations. Maybe just make it a wrestling match and not worry so much about CGI effects and whatever's going on. You know, I mean, it's
the sign of the times. I mean, this country is losing its collective mind, so here we are. I mean, we're not even talking about how bad the swamp fight's going to be, too. But yeah, yay pandemic.
I see if Kermit the Frog's out there.
Here's the sad thing, too, about the whole going back to Mysterio and Rollins real quick. Here's the sad thing. A few months ago, they were supposed to have this match. It was supposed to be built up as like some dream match. It was supposed to be Mysterio versus Rollins for the WWE Championship. Back when Rollins, or the Universal Championship, back when Rollins was still champion. And then I think Mysterio got hurt. And then it kind of just went away. Nothing happened. Now they've got this, you know, kind of different scenario. And now all it's come to is, oh, I want to take your eye out. It's just kind of like, where was this dream match that we were all hoping that we could potentially see?
Yeah, I think Rollins also changed his theme music a bit between then, too, and he wasn't doing the character he's doing now, you know? So, yeah.
Completely different, but still, I mean, you could still get a good match out of it and not have to worry about taking everybody's eyes out.
No, I mean, I'm guessing it'll be a good match until that point, but I guess we got to talk a little bit about, I guess we're going to get one more week of build-up before this, and then we can talk about it next week, too, but yeah, there's the swamp. I didn't even think about the swamp match. Oh, my goodness, you know, it's like...
I'm trying not to think about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, and you know, I mean, this is, and it really is, there's not a lot of intriguing matchups. I mean, I'm thinking we're getting better matchups on the regular TV show. Like, for instance, AEW this past week, we had Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy. Now, that turned out to be a fantastic match. I enjoyed that. I really believed Orange Cassidy could win that match by the end of it, you know? And, yeah. You know, especially when he put his hands in his pockets and started doing crazy things like jumping off the corners and getting, you know, just... It was your atypical Orange Cassidy match too, over a Jericho match, I think, because it was exciting. What did you guys enjoy that match?
I definitely loved it. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a fantastic match. I mean, even Jericho had come out and said, I don't know if it was on his podcast or if it was just in a interview with somebody, but he said that was probably one of his best matches of at least the last 10 years is what he said. And for him to continue to want to build up a guy like Cassidy, you know, just goes to say more about Jericho and then also what he thinks of, you know, Orange Cassidy as a professional wrestler. So I loved everything about it.
Yeah, I think between that match and the 8-man tag match, AEW had the better matches this week. That 8-man tag match is the highlight of the wrestling this week, I think,
yeah.
Hands down.
I was about to say the same thing. It was absolutely my match of the week. And I think I went into the week expecting Jericho and Orange Cassidy to be my favorite. And I'm not taking anything away from that because it was awesome and it totally delivered. But that 8-man tag is a match of the year candidate. Absolutely loved it. It really, if you want to look at a match that has a little bit of absolutely everything, it is that. It is not just one style there. Everything was on display. I went back and watched that match again yesterday and loved it just as much a second time. So yeah. Props to all 8 of those guys. Destroyer was ridiculous. Yeah.
Phoenix, if you've never seen him wrestle before, you got a really good dose of him during that match on Wednesday. I mean, just unbelievable. Just the match was incredible. And I loved even better was that the heels walked out with it. You know, I mean, I guess, are your buddies, the Butcher and the Blade, heels now? Are they heels? Or I've never really tried to figure out what.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Okay, they're definitely. Yeah.
But I mean, we're also in 2020 where, I mean, it's there aren't
the lines are blurred
lines with that. But and I mean, I think, you know, shout out to them. I think they're holding their own big time with best tag teams in the world out there. This pairing they've got with the Lucha Brothers is something that I was very confused about at first, and it's totally working. And now, I mean, there's a picture from the match where Andy Butcher's holding Rey Fénix like a baby and he's smiling. Like, I don't know. Like, for some reason, it's like super intriguing, and hopefully that doesn't just completely go away. Shout out to them for those who aren't fully paying attention. Those are Western New York guys, Buffalo guys, Butcher and Blade. So they're really doing big things right now, and I can't wait to see how that continues to progress.
You got to love Excalibur talking about the band, too, and then arguing with JR about a bass guitar is a guitar.
Well, JR did mess that up. Andy is then he corrected it this week and said lead guitarist, which almost makes me think that Jordan, the other guitarist, might take offense to that. He's one of the two guitarists in the band. Every Time I Die, my favorite band. Yeah. As you can, those on Facebook Live can see the flag hanging behind me. So it's awesome. I don't know. I really like the surprising element too that they're FTR and the Bucks are kind of working together and they're still not against each other and they're letting that slowly build. I think that's being done very well and not really what many of us expected. I think a lot of us expected that FTR would come in and immediately it's like, okay, here's them and the Bucks. You've been waiting for it. Let's give it to you right now. And instead they're working together. And I don't know. So there were little aspects of that match where there was, like Flippy Deuce and Nick Jackson and Rey Fénix did that jump from the second rope to the top rope into the Spanish flyer. I'm trying to remember what they did off the top. And then you could see like FTR in the background, like, come on guys, like because they don't want all the flips and stuff like that, but they're still on the same team. And like I just love the dynamic of everything going on there.
Well, we
and normally I don't like hand tags at all. Yeah. So
and the thing about that too is I think Cash Wheeler did a
super
frog splash on the top rope. He did a frog splash too.
Oh, well, so much for no top rope gimmicks. We're going to go to break on that, come back. We've got some news we got to get to before we're out of here. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Dave Hemmer with WWF out here with the Pain Clinic, 1280 WHTK, the best in the West, baby. Listen to him at all the time.
Hey, I don't know if Dave Hebner, who knew we were when that was going on, but welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the cast man with DC, Dan Cole, Furby, and the Artiste. And exciting week in the world of wrestling. We do have some news we want to get to. Lana, CJ Perry, announced this past Wednesday that her mother tested positive for COVID-19, which is, you know, so keep her in your thoughts. Her mother is asthmatic as well, and hopefully, and her father apparently tested positive too. So there's still a lot of this COVID-19 thing going on right now. And the more we get back to regular, the more we're going to see more of it popping up. But I don't know if you guys saw the Matt Riddle video this past week. Matt Riddle kind of came out and defended himself and speaking out, you know, the hashtag speaking out. We talked about it a few weeks ago. And Matt kind of said, you know, kind of like laid the law down by saying, yes, he had an affair with this woman, but that ended and she's been like holding him hostage ever since or whatever. What do you guys think about that? It's obviously not stopping his push if he's getting a title match with AJ Styles next Friday on SmackDown.
Yeah, and I think Vince McMahon even came out this week and said he sees him as like the next Shawn Michaels. So I don't think you're going to see the push stop at all unless something drastic changes. Yeah.
I don't know, two sides to every story on that, and I feel like that's how I feel about that whole specific one. I don't know. I watched the video. Do I believe 100% of what he said? I don't know. But it is kind of what it is at this point, and I don't know. Even just wrestling-wise, I'm like the last person still waiting to kind of come around to Riddle. I don't know. I wish he just put some boots on.
You're not the last person. Freaking Billy DeTore, a friend of mine, just doesn't get it. You know, and I mean,
when he was on the indies and stuff, he was, I'll give him credit, like he was the most over guy whenever he would come into like AAW or places and stuff. And I don't know. Like, I'm not saying he's bad by any means, but I just don't. The talk of him being the best or being the next biggest star in the business or something, like I still don't buy into it.
Yeah, don't tag people with that. Don't tag them with the next person. Just say they're the first Matt Riddle or whatever, you know. I mean,
I agree. Like when we were talking earlier about like Keith Lee could be like the top guy in the company. Yeah, I agree with that. Can Adam Cole be that guy? Yes. Can Matt Riddle? I don't think so. I don't think I'm ever gonna see him as the number one guy in the WWE. Maybe he'll prove me wrong, but I don't see it happening. I don't know. I also don't know if I want a bro like as the top guy kid as the face of the company either. But yeah. Just me.
What were you gonna say, Ferbs?
I was gonna just say, first of all, I hate the word bro anyway, so I could agree with not seeing that on TV every week. But
hey, a bro is a bra for a man, okay? It's the bro. Okay. Sorry, Seinfeld relate, but I know you guys don't get it, so okay. Or is that the Manzier? I'm sorry, did I get that wrong? All right, so let's talk about something else.
Dropping MST3K references, dropping Seinfeld references.
What is going on? I've been watching too much television, I think. So the Fight for the Fallen is this Wednesday, July 15th, and it's really cool that AEW has come out, and they're going to have two charity-driven initiatives going on to help Florida's response to this COVID-19, which has gotten absolutely out of control in the state of Florida. They've got, if you go to AEW...
Florida needs a lot of help. More than just some t-shirt sales, but I appreciate them doing what they can.
If you go to
Florida,
if you go to AEW fightforthefallen.com, you can see how ways you can help them with some money that will help them, you know, get things kind of straightened out, because it's kind of a mess down there. When they're having records every day for testing positive, you know, I think that it's kind of scary. And, you know, and the thing is, isn't Florida the retirement state? So, I mean, the number one person the number one age bracket is the elderly who die from this. And if you're getting this many people in Florida, it's really, really scary.
Florida's always had that kind of awful nickname of death's waiting room. And it's,
yeah, you know,
this isn't helping things.
No.
Well, Some of the mindset's down that way. I don't know. There's more new cases every hour in Corpus Christi than there were total cases when I was living there. So,
yeah, that's kind of got
out. Some people want to take things seriously and some people don't.
That kind of got out of control, too. Texas as well as California now and Arizona. And Arizona was a safe place to go for a while. So we're going to get out of here, but we want to congratulate Angelo Dawkins on the birth of his baby boy this past week. I don't really know the baby boy's name, but yeah, I saw pictures from it on his Twitter. So congratulations, some other. There's nothing, not a lot of other big news. Some of it carried over, but next week we've got. Not only do we have Impact pay-per-view on Saturday next week, but we got the WWE doing their horror show of Extreme Rules or whatever, or whatever we're going to see, and it's going to be, I'm scared to death, a true horror show. But we will have lots to talk about next week. I want to thank you guys. How are you guys doing? You guys getting by still? Yeah.
Can try to stay dry today.
Yep. Yeah, it's, well, we've had like 90s for what, four or five days in a row here in Rochester, and we're finally going to get like a lower temperature day. But the humidity, of course, will replace that heat. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank you guys for hanging out. And Danny, thank you so much from North Carolina. Couldn't do it without you. Furby out in Hilton and the Artiste downtown. And I hope you guys all had a great 4th. We didn't even get a chance to talk about what you did for the 4th. But I'm guessing if you did, there's nothing to do anyways, because we're all kind of like, you know, in pandemic mode. So, but thank you.
It's 7-Eleven day. You're free Slurpee. 7-Eleven.
Actually, they're not doing that this year. I'm sorry. I don't want to spoil that for anybody.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we got to get out of here. You're listening to Payne Clink on Fox Sports 1280.